begin the current daf from Masechet Shabbos, daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We begin four lines up from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara now elaborates on the Braisa that was brought on the top of this Amud. And the Gemara brought a machlekes in the Braisa regarding this, that the Bris Milah, the circumcision on the eighth day, will be doicha, the Isra of Tzeras, of cutting off a nega, even if it's on that place, on the foreskin where the circumcision is going to take place, that everyone agrees that Milah is doicha, but there was a machlekes in the Braisa why that is. The first Tana said because of the extra word basar, which comes to teach you that in all circumstances, on the flesh of the foreskin, you're going to cut it off, even if there's a beharis. And then the other opinion, Rabbi Yonasan, said that no, that you don't need to have a source to teach you that it's deichid, because it's a kavuchaymer. That if Shabbos, which is very stringent, still mil is deichid, so tzaras, which is lower than Shabbos, definitely mil is going to be deichid. Now the Gemara brings and discusses the first opinion, Amamar. So the Tanakam had said that where do we know that milah in its proper time on the eighth day is deicha, the isra of cutting off a nega tzaras. So although it's in the same place as where the circumcision is taking place, you're allowed to do it. Because besar, it says the extra word, besar, the flesh, that alpha pishayashon beharis imol, that even if there's a beharis, there's a nega over there, you can do the circumcision. Divrei Rabbi Yishai, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yishai. Now the Gemara asks on his opinion. Halom likra, why do we need a pasik? Not like the other town who learned it from a kabel chaymer, but just because davashay miskamenhu. This is an act that's not intended. Something that's not intended is permitted. And that is, this person is not intending to take off the nega, which is a prohibition in the Torah. He's just intending to do bris milah, a mitzvah of circumcision. And therefore, since it's not his intention, that should be permitted. As we know that a davash ein miskaven is mutter. And that the Gemara says, I'm abaya, loy nitzucha, correct, that this statement of Rabbi Yeshua was only necessary, el Rabbi Yehuda, it was only for Rabbi Yehuda that he holds the amad davash ein miskaven is aser. Correct, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that's the way we pass it, and davash ein miskaven is mutter, you would not need a pasuk. However, the necessity of besar is coming to teach you for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that he says, generally, even if you didn't intend it, it's going to be aser. Rav Amar, no, Filatim Rabbi Shimon, the pasuk of besar is necessary to teach us that it's going to be mutter, for milah to be deichet tzaras, even according to Rabbi Shimon, that generally says that something that's not intended is mutter. And the reason is, because Maid Rabbi Shimon, b'sik reisham l'yamas, Rabbi Shimon agrees by what's called that if you chop off the head, it's not going to die, which is a term that Chazal give for something that's inevitable. And since if we wouldn't have a pasuk, we would not allow it to be done, the bris milah, because although you're not intending to cut off the nega, but obviously it's inevitable if the nega is on the foreskin and you're cutting it off to do the bris milah, then inevitably that's being done. That Rabbi Shimon agrees that although it's not intended, only not intending, which is not inevitable, is mutter. But if it's inevitable, then he agrees it's going to be us, and that's why you need a pasuk even according to Rabbi Shimon. But now the Gemara asks, so that was Rav's opinion. Vabaya, less lehai svar. Abaya who said, you're right, it wouldn't be necessary for Rabbi Shimon, only for Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't hold to this concept that Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's inevitable. But Vahabaya v'Rav, and it's been brought many times in Masechet Shabbos, the Amri Tavaya, they both say, Moed Rabbi Shimon b'sikresh v'layamas, that Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's inevitable that it's going to be asa. So why didn't Abaya say that, and instead say, you're right, it's only necessary for Rabbi Yehuda? That the Gemara says, Basa d'shamem merava savra. You're right, it was only after that he heard this statement from Rava that he thought about it and he agreed and he accepted it. That is where we have throughout the Masechta that Abaya and Rava saying the same idea, but this statement of Abaya historically was said first, and that's why he said that it seemed like you don't need the pasuk for Reb Shimon, only for Reb Yehuda. Then the Gemara brings a different version of this discussion. Those that learned this statement of Abaya and Rava responding to Abaya and then saying that Abaya really agrees to that was aha, on a different statement. It says in the pasuk, Yishama benega tzaras. You should be very careful regarding the affliction of tzaras. Lishma ma'id, to be very careful. Velasis, and to do. What does it mean to do? So the Braisa says, lasis, to do. I ata oisa, you cannot do. I mean, you can't cut off the nega tzaras. That's what the pasuk is warning you. Aval oisa, but you could do. And that's what the pasuk says on velasis, you could do. When could you actually cut off the nega? That's Aval oisa ata b'siv shagabe ragloi, with the bast that's on his foot, uva mait shagabe ksefa, and the pole that's on his shoulder. And that is, he doesn't have to be so careful from, you know, tying on his shoes that has the bast over there on his leg, or from carrying a heavy load on his shoulder. And that is v'im avra, and then if the baharis, if the nega just by itself then gets taken off because he's carrying a heavy load and it's scraping on where his nega is, then it falls off and he doesn't have to be concerned. And that's what it says in the pasuk, las is to do, that type of work you're allowed to do, and if it comes off, it comes off. It's only when you do it directly. And that the question is, The question is, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm allowed to do these activities that it might happen or might not? Still, I'm allowed to do it. But davashay miskavenu, it's something that's not intended. But davashay miskavenu is mutter. If I'm not intending to take off the nega when I'm carrying the heavy load on my shoulder and then it might take it off, might scrape it off, I don't need a pasuk. That's not intended. On that Abai said, again, similar to the discussion before, they're interposing onto this machlekes, onto this brisa, that on Abai, lo nitzcha el Rabbi Yehuda, you're right, it was only necessary according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's who the town of this brisa is going like. Dama davashin miskavanasa, that he said something that's not intended is forbidden, and that's why I need a pasuk of Elash to tell you that in this circumstance you're allowed to. Rav Amar Rav says, no. Philotem Rabbi Shimon, you could say the town of the brisa is even Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's inevitable that it's going to be us. And since here, if it's going to be constantly scraping away, it will be inevitable. And that's why we need a pasuk to tell us that it's permitted in spite of the fact that you're not intending to do it. And then the Gemara asks, like we said before, if Abai less lehi svar, doesn't Abai agree to that concept? Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's inevitable? Why does he have to say that it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda? For Abai of a Rav Adami Tavai, we find all around that Abai and Rav both say, Moed Rabbi Shimon is a grace of Loyamas, that Rabbi Shimon agrees when it's inevitable. That the Gemara says, Labasa Desham Mir Rav Asavar, that correct, that after he heard this, but originally he had thought that Rabbi Shimon does not differentiate, and that's why he said it's only according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara goes back to the first explanation of where their machlekes was regarding our case of the mila being deichet tsaras. So the Gemara asks as follows: Va'abaya, according to Abaya, alibad Reb Shimon, in the opinion of Reb Shimon, that is initially before he heard the svara from Rav and that he agreed that Reb Shimon would agree by psikresh de loyamas, and that is that's why that brisa was only going into the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who holds davish and miskavenes asa, and therefore high baser my avilei. What does he do with the extra word basar? Which, as we find, the brisa is an extra word, and we only need it to teach us that mila is going to be deichet tsaras. Now, according to Reb Shimon, it's a davashin miskaven. I'm not intending to cut off the tsaras. I'm just intending to do the bris mila. And that's always mutter, because that's davashin miskaven. So therefore, I don't need the extra word besar to teach you that. Only according to Yehuda you need to. As Abaye said, the brisa was only according to Yehuda. Now, according to Reb Shimon, you have an extra word besar. What does he do with that? And that the Gemara says, Amr of Amram, but Imr lokits bahar to whom is kavan. It's talking about in the case when he tells the Moyel, I want you to take off the bris mila and that has the neg on it. And that is, we're talking about an adult, that he's a bar ancient, he gets punishment. He tells the Moyel, he says, I want you to do that because I want to become tar. And therefore, that is not a davashin miskaven. That is something he's intending. Not only does he want to do the bismillah, but part of my intention is because I don't want this neg anymore. That, since it's davashin miskaven, that would be aser. That is why, according to Reb Shimon, again in the Havamina, before Abaye retracted and agreed that Reb Shimon agrees, by Psikresh Abalayamas, that Reb Shimon would learn that from the word besar to tell you, even when you're intending to do it, which then Reb Shimon would agree that it's aser, still it's going to be mut. Then the Gemara asks, Tenach Gadol, what we just explained makes sense by an adult, where the adult is someone that can have an intention for something forbidden also, not just for the milah, and therefore including that would be the isser of cutting off, and that's why we need a pasuk to tell us that. But cutting regarding a minor, a little baby that he can't have any intent, Maya Kalamema, there what are you going to say? In other words, we have two words besar, as we said in the previous Gemara. One says by a gadol, one says by a katan. Now the besar, the word flesh, that the extra word besar that says by a katan on the eighth day, what do I need it for? Again, the only regular, the moel is doing it because he just wants to do the bris milah. Now he's not intending to take off the nega. If he's not intending to take off the nega, so then it's a davashin miskav no kontem shem, and that's mutter. At least before we understood the concept of psikresha b'loyomas. And therefore, by an adult, where he can intend that, and therefore the moel, who is his shliach, is doing it for both. Yes, so then we could understand that it would generally be aser, because he's intending, and that's why you need a pasuk besar. But by an eight-day-old child, who is doing any intention for taking off the nega, that it would make it forbidden, that we need a pasuk of besar to say it's mutter. So Amar of Masharshia, it is necessary by the eight-day-old child. Ba'imer avi haben lokitz baheris debinoy hu kumeschaven. We're talking about a case where the father of the child, he's saying, you know what, I don't want my child to be tameh. I don't want him to have this negative trust. I want you to be matar him. And the father has the hazara that he's not allowed to do it be a dime and with intending it to do it. And therefore, it would be usr because the moil is the shlech of the father. And the father would be, A, doing the circumcision, but also intending to be matar his son. That would be usr. And that's why we need the word besar to teach us that even in such a case, it's going to be mutter. But then the Gemara asks, what do I mean? V'iyika acher. If there's another person around that's not concerned about being metahar the boy, he would just be interested in doing the bris milah, le'avad acher, let a different person do it. In other words, don't let the father come to the bris milah, don't invite him to the party. And that is, although that we have a riba in the pasuk, as we're teaching, that the word besar, both by an adult and by the child, teaches that even if it would be usr, you're allowed to do it. But since the fact is that you could be mekayim the mitzvah, say, of doing the bris milah without uprooting the lav, for according to the opinion of Reb Shimon, because someone else that's not intending to do it, he wouldn't be ivor, because it would be a davar she'ein miskaven. And we find the Gemara, Damar Shimon ben Lakish, kamakim shatam mitzvah asay v'loisa. Say, whenever you have a mitzvah asay, which in this case is the bris milah, and you have a loisa, a negative prohibition, which is cutting off the nega, which is on the place of the makam milah, so Reb Shimon ben Lakish has a klal. If you could fulfill both of them, then fine. Vim lav, if you cannot fulfill both, then the mitzvah to say the positive commandment overrules the negative prohibition, and you uproot the loisa say. So therefore, in this case where the father doesn't have to come, someone else could do the mila, and thereby the father's intention won't have a chalois, won't affect the child's mila. So therefore, let someone else do it. He will not be intending to be mitar the child. It will be just a mitzvah saseh, and it won't have to be derech leis saseh. So though you're finding a pasuk of besar that teaches in all circumstances, even if it's going to be asur, the father could say, yes, I want to be mitar from tzaras, which is leis saseh. But the saseh is derech leis saseh, but you don't need to. There is a way out of it to have that saseh without being derech leis saseh, by not inviting the father and having someone else do it. If that's the case, Reb Shimon Lakish says that's what you have to do. You cannot say asay de chalois asay if you could fulfill that asay without being delois asay, which would be another person which is not concerned about being matar, the boy from the tzaras. And therefore, how could that be the pshat in the word besar? And the Gemara says, delek acher would be talking about the circumstance where there is no one else, just the father. And therefore, since there's only the father, and the father wants to be matar, his son from tzaras, yes, I don't want him to be tameh. So then there would be a situation of asay deich alois asay. It would be that the tzaras over here is an issue, and still the word, although there's an isser, the extra word besar would teach us that it is deich and that you could be over the lav to do the bris milah, and that's why we need it. Again, but that was only according to the havamina of Abaye, that before he retracted and he thought that the brisa was only coming to teach us according to the opinion of Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Shimon would agree. So what would Rabbi Shimon need besar for? So that's what we explained in these circumstances where you were mechaven, you wanted it. However, according to the Maskana, Abaye agrees to Rava and says that Shimon needs it in all circumstances, because since it's inevitable, it's inevitably going to happen. So therefore, then even Reb Shimon would agree that you need to have a pasuk to permit it, because it would be usur under general circumstances. Now the Gemara goes to quote from the previous daf. Amamar, we said in the Braisa on the previous daf, Yom Tov Eina Deicha. The Bris Mila is not going to be Deicha, the mitzvah of Yom Tov. Only if it's an 8-day-old child, then you can do a bris milah on Yom Tov, but if not, you cannot do it on Yom Tov. So the Gemara asks, Menuha Nemili, from where do we know this source, that if it's not in the 8th day, it will not be deich, if it's shlei bezmana, if it's not the designated time on Yom Tov, then you cannot be deich Yom Tov to do the bris milah. So Amachizke, the first source the Gemara brings, B'chaitan B'chizke, and also this is how it was learned in the Yeshiva of Chizke. Amakrad says in the Pasuk, Loisesiru mimenu ad boiki. You should not leave over from the leftover kabbanis until the morning. She'en tamaloyma ad boiki, because why, it doesn't teach us anything by saying ad boiki a second time. It says again, v'hanoisu mimenu ad boiki. It could have just said, v'hanoisu be'esh tisreif, or whatever is left over should be burnt in the fire. We told my kabbanis that weren't eaten in their designated time. So after it's left over, so you have to burn it. So why do we repeat again ad boiki until the morning? We already said ad boiki. As the Gemara says, mat tamaloyma ad boiki. It's coming to teach us this lesson that it's going to be to a second morning. That's why it says biker again, a second morning regarding the burning. That is, the ad biker is not going on being left over, but it's going on the burning. And the pasuk is saying as follows. And whatever was left over from the time that I said is forbidden for you, which was the first morning, now it's already past the time, then when it comes the second morning, which already chaylish al-mayid, it's not on Yom Tov anymore, then you burn it. But on Yom Tov, you wouldn't. So therefore you see from that concept that anything that was a weekday thing, then you will not be able to do it on Yom Tov, because there it's by a Karban Pesach, which is brought on the 14th of Nisan, which is the weekday. So therefore that we apply to Mila also, that's when it's not in its Zman, in its proper time of the 8th day. It's also like a Chol thing. It's not like to be Deicha Shabbos, because that's only when it's in proper time, when we learn that b'yayim hashmini, that on the eighth day, any day that is, even a Shabbos is teicha, but when it's not the eighth day, so then it's not designated for now, and therefore it's like almost a yom, like a weekday carbon for yom tiv, where there you're not going to go ahead and burn it on yom tiv, you're going to have to wait. Ad Baker, it says a second time to teach you that the second morning, because the first morning is still yom tiv, there's one day yom tiv, if you brought it on the 14th of Nisan, you ate it at night, once it comes the morning, it's already too late, you can't eat it, so now that's yom tiv day. So then Ad Baker, a second time, teaches you that for the next morning, which is already Chol Shemay, then you can burn it, but you can't burn it on Yom Tov. And the idea is because since it's a weekday carbon, so too over here where the Mila is a weekday, not a Shabbos one, because it's not designated for this day, because it's not the eighth day anymore. So therefore, again, it can't be on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It has to be during the weekday. That's one source. Abaye Amar, a second source the Gemara brings is Amar Kra, says in the Pasuk, Oyla Shabbos b'Shabbatay. The carbon oila of Shabbos will be brought on its Shabbos, which teaches you v'loy oila schil b'Shabbos, and not the oila of a weekday, v'loy oila schil b'yom tov, and similarly, not the oila of a weekday to be brought on yom tov. And that is if carbon tamid that's brought every single day, those limbs from every yom tov are not brought on yom tov. Similarly, regarding mila, that's shalei bezmana, is also like a oila of the weekday that is not brought on yom tov, so too mila is not brought on yom tov. The third source the Gemara brings, Rav Amar, Amar Krud says in the Pasuk, Hu levada yo'aslechem. That alone is something that could be done for you. And then this is a pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis that says regarding Yom Tov that although Yom Tov has the same halachas of Shabbos, there is one unique difference. That's ach ashe yo'achil l'chol nefesh. However, that which is eaten for every single type of person, hu levada, that alone yo'aslechem, that you could do for you, that is something that's different Yom Tov than Shabbos. What's called eichel nefesh. However, the words hu levada are learned up in the Brisa as follows: that hu, when it says that. That means only that the food item is what's permitted to be cooked on Yom Tov, but not the preparatory actions. Getting in the kalim, preparing the vessels to go ahead and make the food, that's not allowed to be deicha Yom Tov. And when it says levadi alone, that's another miyat, another exclusion, is v'loy mila shlebizmana, and however, that would not include mila not in its designated time. And the reason is because I would have thought to Asim a Kavochimer that from a Kavochimer I would say that Mila, even not in its designated time, that it could be done the Yom Tov. That's why I need the second Mila of Levadai alone to tell you that only food items and not a Mila that's not in its proper time. Because what would I have thought the Kavochimer was? Because Saras is greater than Avoida. As we said, that when the Kohen has Saras, we don't allow him to cut it off to go ahead and do that Avoida. And Avoida is greater than Shabbos because we'll bring Karbanis, do that Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So therefore, and Mila is Deichet Saras, that even in not on its proper time, you'll go ahead and cut off the foreskin that has a Saras in it and do the Bris Mila. So if it's going to be Deichet Saras, which is much greater than Shabbos, so definitely it's going to be Deichet Shabbos. That's why we needed the Pasuk of Levadai to teach us that lesson, that it's going to exclude that, no, only alone will be the heterim of Eichel Nefesh, but not Mila Shalai Bezman. The fourth source the Gemara brings, Rav Ashi Amar, it says in the Pasuk Shabbosim, a rest, and this is a Pasuk in Bayikra Chav Gimel that says, B'chidish Hashvi on the seventh month, the month of Tishrei, B'echel HaChidish on the first day of the month, Yilachem Shabbosim, it should be for you a day of rest, that's Rosh Hashanah. So, Asehu, that comes to teach you that Yom Tov has a positive commandment, not just a negative prohibition of doing malachas, but rather Shabbosin is a positive commandment of not doing malachas. And therefore Yom Tov, regarding doing a malacha on Yom Tov, it's a positive commandment and a negative prohibition. And therefore, a positive commandment, in this case, the mitzvah of Bris Mila, is not doiche es loisase vasei, that is not powerful enough to push away a negative prohibition and the positive commandment, nasei is only doich alois asei, but not alois asei and nasei. However, mila bizmana, in its proper time, that we have a special rebbe from the word bayayim that comes to teach you whatever day it is, even on Shabbos. However, this would be a source to tell you that mila shaloi bizmana, not on this proper day, it's not bayayim hashmini, it's bayayim hachi, bayayim hasi, whatever it is. There is what we're telling you, that we wouldn't be able to do it on Yom Tov, because a Yom Tov is a asei and alois asei, and asei of mila, Shalei Bezmana, at least, is not Deicha Oloisa Sei Vasei. So those are the four sources how we know that Mila Shalei Bezmana is not Deicha Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nothing more goes back to the Mishnah of the beginning of the parak that says, Klala Reb Kiva said a general rule. He argues with Reb Elazar. He says that Machshirin, preparatory acts for a mitzvah, although let's say Mila is Deicha Shabbos, but the Machshirin Mila is not Deicha Shabbos. The preparatory acts, something that could have been done from before Shabbos, that is not going to be Deicha Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Kiva, Halacha follows Rabbi Kiva, and that is the machshirin, the preparatory acts, are not Toich HaShabbos. It's only like the act of Mila itself. So the Gemara says, if it's not Namigav Pesach, Ki Agavne, we learned a similar expression in the Halachas of Pesach, that it's by Pesach, that every Malacha that you could have done from before Pesach, before Shabbos, for example, bringing it from out of the Tchum, or cutting off the tzaras, the nega that's there, you have to do it, as the Gemara says, Kalalam Rebbe Kiva, there Rebbe Kiva said, by the Halachas of Pesach, any malacha that could have been done from before Shabbos, and this is talking about a case of when Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, so in the Deiches of Shabbos, that will not be Deicha, the halachas of Shabbos. However, Shechita, Sheyev Shalasisim, Erev Shabbos, slaughtering the Karban Pesach, which cannot have been done from before Shabbos, because it has to be on the 14th of Nisan, and therefore if Pesach is on the Sunday and Shabbos is Erev Pesach, yes, that could be Deiches of Shabbos. However, getting the knife and doing all these other things, that preparatory acts, that will not be Deicha, the Shabbos that falls on the 14th of Nisan. And V'am Rabbi Yehuda Merav, on that statement, Rabbi Yehuda Merav said, Halacha Kriya Kiva. And therefore the Gemara says, B'tzricha, we need to have both statements when he says, Halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, that Machshirin is not Deicha. He says it over here regarding the Mishnah of Mila, and he says it over there regarding the Mishnah, regarding the Karban Pesach. And he says as follows, D'yash min gabi Mila, if we would only taught this regarding the Mitzvah of Mila, that the Machshirin are not Deicha Shabbos, Hasim hu de Machshirin efshalasis me'et molay Deicha Shabbos, there where the Machshirin that could have been done yesterday, they're not Deicha Shabbos. The reason is the lack of karis, because there is no karis, and that is a child is not a bar ancient. He doesn't get punishments. He's only 8 days old. You have to be an adult to get punishment. And the father that's obligated, he also doesn't get karis for his son not doing it. It's only when the child becomes an adult that then if you don't do the bris milah, then you get karis. And therefore, since no one's getting karis over here, so then the machshirin will not allow us to go ahead and do the process to be able to do the mitzvah on Shabbos. Of a Pesach, they could karis, but regarding the Karban Pesach, if you don't do it, you get karis. Eima l'tchi Shabbos, I would say that even the machshirin are deichi Shabbos. So that's why we needed to tell you both. And v'yesh min gabe Pesach, and we would have told you by Pesach, which seems like the stronger one, because there you get karis, and even there we can't be deichi Shabbos for the machshirin. No, mishum deloy nichrus aleh yugim abrisis. Maybe the reason why the machshirin of Pesach is not deichi Shabbos is because there wasn't a bris of 13 brises. There was no 13 covenants. Of a milah the nechusar le yud gomer brises, which is so chashiv. There was 13 covenants that were given for the mitzvah of milah, as it says 13 times by the parasha of Avraham Avinu when Hashem gave the mitzvah of bris milah. Eimel et chishabes. Maybe there I would say that the machshir and the preparatory acts of milah are doich chishabes. And therefore, tzricha we needed to tell us in both mekaymes. We had to tell you halacha v'azrak b'kiva both by milah and by pesach that although it's going to prevent a person from doing it, the machshir and the preparatory acts are not doich chishabes. Only the mitzvah itself. Now we continue with the next Mishnah. Continue on the theme of this parak of the Mitzvah of Bris Milah. So the Mishnah begins, Eisen kol tzorchei milah b'Shabbos. We can do all the necessities of the Bris Milah on Shabbos. As Tosfos says, although we said this on the last Mishnah of the previous parak, that was just mentioned when it was told about all the topics of the child, but here, which is the main topic of Milah, we repeat it again. So what are all the things? Moilin, we're allowed to circumcise the child. That is what... that's cutting off the foreskin, the arla. Upirin, and we could uncover, that is, we uncover the skin that covers the top of the gid of the aver, that's called the corona. Umaitetsin, and we could draw the blood. And although that's creating a chabur, which is a wound that's usher to do on Shabbat, it's a malacha, that however it's permitted because the blood will not be able to come out from the wound only by drawing it out. And since it's necessary for the safety of the child, therefore that's included in the items that are mutter to do on Shabbos. The nois nale is palonis v'kamin, and we can put on bandages and cumin. These are things that, in the times of the Gemara, were used as healing items. Im lo yishachek me'erev Shabbos, if these items, the cumin was not crushed from before Shabbos, so then doing teichen on Shabbos is a concern. However, since it's necessary, lo yis bishinav v'noisin, so then he chews it with his teeth. And then he puts it on, because as much as we can do a shina and change it from its normal deraisadiga form, then we do the shina to turn it at least into drabanan or whatever it is. So although we have to, and it allows us to be over on chilas Shabbos, but since we could do it in the shina, so therefore chew it and then put it on. Im loitar of yayin v'shemen me'erev Shabbos, if let's say they didn't beat the wine and the oil from before Shabbos, which in the times of the Gemara, that's again what they would do for healing things, that they would beat it in a plate, the oil and the wine together, similarly as you would beat an egg in a plate. So if it wasn't done, and beating is also to do on Shabbos. He nasin zeba atzma vezeba atzma. Then you put in each one separately again, so that you shouldn't have to do a chil of Shabbos if you don't have to. Moreover, the ein nasin lecholik leketchil. You're not allowed to make a special shirt, so to speak, for the aver leketchila on Shabbos, which was a type of a tight encasement that they would make, that they would cover the top of the gid up until the atara, till the crown, and they would tie it there so that the foreskin, the skin, should not come back and cover the gid, which was to hold it back down to complete the process of the bris milah. So therefore, you can't make that one leketchila on Shabbos, but you could go ahead and wrap around a cloth around it that will also do the job, and that's permitted. That's not like making a beggar on Shabbos. Im lahiskim erev Shabbos, and let's say you didn't even prepare that from before Shabbos. So karechalitz boy, you could wrap that cloth around your finger as if you're wearing it to do at least a shinoi from the way you would normally carry it out during the weekday. And then maybe you could bring it vafil mechatzaches even from a different courtyard. Again, although maybe that wouldn't be generally considered a malbush, but at least it wouldn't be the derais that you're carrying on Shabbos, although there are certain hetayim we could do. But if we could make a shinoi and carry it with a shinoi by wrapping it on the finger, so that's what we do. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. The Gemara asks, Mechti, let us see. Let's analyze our Mishnah. Ketani, we learned in the Mishnah, Kulu, we learned all the different aspects of a bris milah. We learned everything that's necessary for milah, the circumcision, the young covering of the corona, to drawing out the blood. We said everything. So therefore the question is, kol tzorchei milah su yimai, when the Mishnah started off and said a general rule, all the necessities of milah are permitted to do on Shabbos, what do I need it for? And then I went and delineated all the different items anyway. So why do I need a general statement? So the Gemara says, "Lasuy hod d'tanya ban." It comes to include this that was said in the Braisa. It says, "Hamol, if someone does a bris milah on Shabbos, so kolzman shu oisig b'milah, as long as he's still involved in doing the bris milah, that means he didn't remove his hand yet. So if he sees that there are some strips of flesh that are still the covering from the foreskin, so then chayzer he can go back to cut off the foreskin pieces, the strips that are still there, whether it's strips of skin that would hold back the fulfillment of the mitzvah of milah, or even if it's strips that would say that it is a good mitzvah, I did a fulfillment of the circumcision, but since it's not a perfect bris milah, it's still these little strips, I want to take it totally off. As long as I'm still involved in doing the bris milah, I can go ahead and take off these tzitzin. And again, these tzitzin are these leftover strips of the erla, of the foreskin, and the mission later will explain what are the tzitzin that would hold back and say it's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah, and what are those which are not holding back, it will be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. For example, let's say skin that doesn't cover the majority of the atara of the corona, only a minority, that we say are tzitzin that not ma'akvin, you fulfill the mitzvah, but if you're still involved, you can go ahead and cut them off. And what is the atara actually? What is the corona? That is a row that goes surrounding around the entire male member, that from that point it slopes downwards toward the ground and slopes downward toward the body. That area is the corona. That's the place where you have to cut off the foreskin and then uncover it. So again, if it's you're still involved in it, so then the Bryce is saying that you could cut off all tzitzin, whether those that would say that it was invalid milah, whether those would that it'd still be a valid milah, doesn't make a difference. You're allowed to go ahead and cut them off. However, pirish, if let's say you already removed yourself, that is, you stopped doing the bris milah, and then you looked at the child again, and then you see that there are some strips of foreskin that are still there, then al tzitzin hama'akin as a milah chayzer, for the strips that would nullify and make the milah invalid, then you can go back and go cut those off, because that's like the bris milah itself. You didn't fulfill it. There's still a mitzvah milah now to do that. However, al tzitzin she'in ma'akvin nesa milah ein l'chayzer, but regarding the strips that would not invalidate the bris milah, then you can't go back. And the reason is because that's like a new beginning, a new start. And for these strips, you're not allowed to be mechal de Shabbos. That's why it says kol tzorkei milah. Even for the strips that are not ma'akim, they would not invalidate and nullify the mitzvah milah, still, if you're still involved and you didn't remove yourself from doing the bris milah, then you could go back and do those things. That's why we had to teach you this concept that all the things, even things which are not even intrinsic, it's not integral for the bris of milah, and that is just strips that cover just a little bit, and it would not invalidate it. However, you're still involved, that's called tzarchei milah. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos, but again, if you stopped already, then only if it would invalidate it, you can go back, but not if it's just these tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin. Now the Gemara asks, Man Tana, who is the Tana that we just mentioned, that Pirish Ein Chayzer, that if you removed yourself, that you can't go back? And the reason is, since you removed yourself, it's considering, like, when you're going back, it's like a new thing. And since it's not ma'akev de mitzvah, since it's not integral for the kima de mitzvah, then you can't go back because, look, it's Shabbos. You can't go ahead and just be cutting things off that are connected to the body on Shabbos. That's usr. If it's integral for the mitzvah of meal, then you could. So who's the one that says that once you stopped and then you're going back, that would be considered a new act and not the a continuation of the old act, which we're saying once you're still involved, you're allowed to do it, that it would be considered a new act and therefore it would be usr. So Amar Rabbah Bachana, and the Gemara attempts till they get to who is the Tana of this Braisa. The first attempt, the Gemara says, Amar B'yechanan is Rabbi Shmuel B'noi Shal B'yechanan B'mireki. The Tana is learned in Braisa. Abra Aster Shechalis B'Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, that is Pesach is on the Sunday, Shabbos is Erev Pesach. And now the Karban Pesach has to be slaughtered and brought as a Karban on the 14th on Erev Pesach. So what do? You have a lot of malachas to do, but you have to do only the malachas that are, again, integral for the kima and the mitzvah. So mavshid ha-pesach ad ha-chazer, divri b'shmol b'noi yishol b'yichanim b'merika. You can skin the animal, which is necessary to do that, to be able to get out the intestines, that to bring as a murim on the mizbech, so you can skin the karban pesach up until the breast, and that's it. V'chacham amrim mavshit nes kuli. The chacham, however, argue, and they say that you could skin the entire animal in its entirety, even past the breast. And that is, it's a Mishnah Masechtas Tamid in the fourth parak that says, regarding the skinning of an animal, they would start by the feet, and they would skin downward until it reaches to the breast. Once it reached the breast, then they would stop, they would chop off the head, and they would give the head for whoever was zeichin it to bring that up to the Mizbeach, then the knees, then they would continue on, and then they would go ahead and continue the skinning process. From that Mishnah, you see that when they would reach the breast, they would stop from the skinning and start doing other things of chopping up the animal, giving the parts to whichever kohen got the schi and doing it, as by the carbon oila, which is totally brought on there, and they would chop off the hands and after the head. By the carbon pesach also, that they would skin it until the breast, to be able to take out, as you mentioned, the imurim, the sacrificial parts that are brought on the mizbeach. And the reason why they had to first skin the animal is because the rest would get stuck in the hairs of the animal. So, and then it would rip it as it's coming out. So that's why they would first skin it up until the breast, that allowed the room to be able to take out the intestines, and then they would stop. On that, Rabbi Shmuel says, wait a second, you stopped. You can't go back and now skin the rest of the animal, because once you stop, the chazara, going back, is a new action. And that's not necessary anymore for Tzerchi Gevaya, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Emurin was the only heter that we allowed you to skin the animal. Because if you don't skin, when you're pulling out the parts, it's going to get stuck on the hair that's on the skin. So therefore, we allowed you to skin it. Once you did up until the breast, it gives us enough room to take out the Emurim without getting stuck. And therefore, the rest of the skinning would only be for you, not for Hashem. And therefore, that's similar to what we're saying about the Tzitzin She'enim Akvin. To go back and do that is not integral anymore for what we needed it for. Yes, if you didn't stop, we'd allow you to do the whole skinning. But now that you stopped, you can't. It's a new beginning, and it's a new non-integral beginning, and that's why it's awesome. That is who the Tana of Abrais is Rabbi Shmuel ben Noach Rabbi Yechim ben Berekim. The Gemara asks, Mimai. How can you say that that's the same idea? Because Adkan Lekom Rabbi Shmuel ben Noach Rabbi Yechim ben Berekim Hossam over there by Korban Pesach. Yes, he didn't allow you to skin past the breast and to go back. Is Elam Shem Dulei Be'in Zekil Van Veyu. Is because there by the Korban Pesach, there is no necessity for the concept of a Pasuk that says, this is my God and I will beautify him. That is, once the Emurim are taken out from the Korban Pesach, there's no more Hidr Mitzah, beautifying of the Mitzah by making the skin, by making the animal, the flesh nicer, by skinning off the animal. There's no more purpose anymore for the Mitzvah purpose of skinning the rest. Because what is it for? When you can eat the flesh on Matzah Shabbos when it's by Pesach, by the night? Of course, but it has nothing to do with the mitzvah of making it any better by continuing to skin the end. But here, by the mitzvah of Bris Milah, where you need to have Zekil Van Veyu, making the Makam HaMilah, making it's a Chetzeh Shel Mitzvah, it's an object of a mitzvah, the Bris Milah, and making it as beautiful as possible is a mitzvah of Zekil Van Veyu. So Achinami, Hirosa, you should be able to go back and do cut off even the Tzitzin She'en Ma'akrin, even if it's not integral for the mitzvah of the fulfillment, but for the beautification of the mitzvah, maybe he would agree. It's just that over there by Korban Pesach, there is no beautification element over there. The Tanya has learned the Braisa, this concept. That says in the Pasuk, Zekei Levan Veyu, this is my God, and I will beautify him. This is a Pasuk that the Yidden said when they were in the Yamsuf, that it's split, and they said the Az Yashar. So what does that mean? You should beautify yourself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with His commandments. What does that mean? As lefanav sukkah, no, you should make a beautiful sukkah. V'lulav na, and a beautiful lulav. Again, these are items, these are ideas that are not integral for the keem of the mitzvah, but it's integral for the fulfillment of beautifying the mitzvah. V'shefa na, and a beautiful shefa. Tzitzis na, a beautiful tzitzis. Sefer Torah na, a beautiful Sefer Torah. And by the Sefer Torah, because of Lishma, you should write it with the intent for Hashem's sake. B'dyayna, with beautiful ink. B'kulmasna, with a beautiful parchment. B'lavla Roman, with a professional scribe. V'kercha b'shirayna, and you should wrap it in beautiful silk. You see this idea of having it being beautiful. Now, Abishalom, he gives a different interpretation of Anveyu. He interprets Anveyu means Hevedoimelei, that we should try to make ourselves similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he learns that from the word Anveyu, Anivu. It's a contraction of Anivahu. Anveyu is me and him. That I'm going to make myself like Hashem, that I'm going to attach myself to His ways. And that what that means is Mahu Chanun Barachim, just like He is kind and merciful and gracious. Af Atahei Chanun Barachim, you also be gracious and merciful. However, what we see is, but that there's a mitzvah of Zekeilim Aveyu, and therefore Tzitzin She'enim Ha'akvin is very different than the Karban Pesach. How can we prove that he's our Tana? Maybe only there he would say that you don't finish the end, because what's the purpose of it? But here he would say you do go back and do the Tzitzin She'enim Ha'akvin, because it's a beautification of the mitzvah, of the Chefza, of the Bris Milah, of the person. So therefore, Elam of Rashi, a different Tana. Ha'mani, who is the Tana of Abraisa Rabbi Yosi? The Tana we learned in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. It says, Bein Shiner, whether the new moon was seen, Ba'alil, clearly for everybody to see, and you definitely know that Bezdin and all those around Bezdin saw it. And therefore, you don't have to go out of your tchum, out of your boundary on Shabbos, to be Mechal Shabbos, to come and testify in front of Bezdin, to say that, yeah, I saw the new moon, which generally you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, because it's a tzarech to do that, it's a tzarech mitzvah. But when it's seen out in the public, you would think that there is no necessity. So whether it's seen that everybody saw it, whether it wasn't seen by everybody, and definitely I would think I have to go and tell Bezdin that I saw the new moon to go ahead and make it a new month. Either way, the Tanakhama says, Mechal Nalavas HaShabbos. You desecrate the Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference. We always say you should go ahead and tell Bezdin, even if it seems pretty obvious, and what am I going out of my tchum, it doesn't make a difference. Rabbi Yosi Emir says no. He says, near about little, if it's seen obviously, ain't Mechal Nalavas HaShabbos. You're not Mechal Shabbos, because what are you going for? What do you mean? Everybody sees it, so there's no purpose in me being Mechal Shabbos going on my tchum. But what you see from Yosi is that even though there is a mitzvah of going, but since it's not L'tzarech Gevaya, it's not necessary for Hashem, because for Hashem's sake, you know that they're best in sort, and therefore we see that you're not going to Mechal Shabbos according to Yosi. Here also, the same thing is the same idea, that once you stop doing the circumcision, to go back now would be a chil for not Tzarech Gevaya. And therefore, you wouldn't be mechal, because it's not necessary for the mitzvah of milah. And therefore, he is the Tan of our Braisa that says that if it's not a tzarech gevaya, although it is a tzarech mitzvah, like here where Zekeilim Aveyu is a tzarech mitzvah, but since it's not tzarech gevaya, it's not necessary for the actual mitzvah, it's not something that is commanded on you, therefore, you don't go ahead and be mechal Shabbos when it's obvious to everyone, and therefore, you don't go back for the tzitzin she'in ma'akvin. And then the Gemara says, Mimai, how can you make this complete comparison? Dilma adkan lekam Rabbi Yosi Hasan. Maybe over there Rabbi Yosi said that you're not going to go on Shabbos b'mechal if it's obvious that everybody saw this moon, because it's such a clear night and everyone saw this. Is only because delay nitno Shabbos lidachis. Because in such a circumstance, there was never given, even initially, to go ahead and be deicha Shabbos in such a case, because it was seen out in the open that everybody saw it. I would never had a heter in the first place to go. But in this case of the Bris Milah, where it was initially given to go ahead and be Deicha Shabbos on some level, which is to start the actual Bris Milah, was given permission. So therefore, maybe there we would say that even once you stopped, you could go back. And that starting again, it would not be considered a new start, a new beginning. And it's as if you didn't finish and you can complete the entire mitzvah. How could you compare it to the case of where we never allowed you, although it's a mitzvah, but we're saying it's not Tzarech Gevaya. Yeah, but there we never had a foot in the door. We said, no, you're not allowed to go in all circumstances when it's out in the open. But here regarding the Mila, where we had permission to do it. It's just a question of can we complete it or not. Maybe he would agree that even though we stopped, that we could go back and it's not considered like a new beginning. So therefore the Gemara concludes, you're right. Ella Amrin and Neradoi, who is the town of Abraisa? Rabbanon, the Pliga led Rabbi Yosi. It's the Rabbanon who argued in Rabbi Yosi regarding their machlokes of the lechem upon them, and these are the showbreads, these are the 12 breads that are left on the shulchan from Shabbos to Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, as you learned in the Mishnah Maseches Menachos, Arba kahanim nechlasen. Four kahanim would enter into the heichal on Shabbos to go ahead and organize the new lechem upon them, to put the new 12 breads that were baked and put them down. Shnayim biyadim shnei sedarim. Two of the kahanim would have two of the piles of the lechem upon them, because there were two piles of breads, two piles of six. So one was holding six, the other one was holding six. Vishnayim biyadim shnei bezichin, and the other two had in their hands these two spoons that were full with levaina, this frankincense, as it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Chavdalad, that v'nesata alamareches, you should put on what's organized, but they were the 12 breads, levaina zaka, pure frankincense. So again, there were four kahanim, two had breads, two had these spoonfuls of levaina. Then v'arba makdim lefneim, then before them, there would be four other kahanim that would go into the heichal. And why were these four necessary? Shnayim litel, because there would be two that would be taking from the shulchan, shnei sedarim, the two old orders of the bread, that was the bread that was there from last Shabbos, which is taken off the Shabbos to go ahead and shear it with the kahanim. V'shnayim litel shnei bezichin, and two other kahanim to take the two spoons from the last week. And now what they do is, hamachnisin in the mitzafen, upenem laderim, those who are bringing in the new stuff, the new breads, the new levaina, they would stand on the north of the shulchan. Their face would be facing southward. V'hamoytzian, and those that would be taking out the breads from last weekend, the old levaina, they would be umdim bedarim. They would be standing on the south. Upenem latzav, and they would be facing towards the north. And that is the shulchan, the table that was in the heichal, was facing, its length was from east to west. And these, there were those who would be standing on the width of it, on the width of the table on the north, and there would be those who would be standing on the south. And it had to be that those that are bringing in the new breads, the new levaina, they would be on the north, because tzafin is always an inyav chashivas, as the Gemara says in Masech the Sukkah. And therefore, when they would be splitting the lechem upon them, the new group that was coming in and bringing in, and there would be an old one, the new group they would split on the north, again, to show that they're the ones that are entering and bringing the new stuff. That was the chashivas that was shown to them, that they're bringing it in, that was on the north. So again, they would be on the north of it, and the other one would be on the south, because the table again is the length is from east to west. And then elu maishchin ve'elu manichin. These would be taking off, and at the same time, these would be putting on. Tifchishel zeh betzad tifchishel zeh. The hand of these would be on the side of their hands, and that is, it would be at the same time taking off and putting on, that there would never be a gap. And the reason is Mishum Shenemer lifnei Hashem Tam. It says that it has to be in front of Hashem at all times, and therefore we couldn't have a moment that the lechem upon them wasn't on there. So at the same time that it's going off, the other ones are coming on, and there's no gap. Rabbi Yisrael, no. Afila elu neitlin, even if these are taking, that is initially they take, and they take it totally off of the shulchan, and at a later point in time, then ve'elu manichin, then these other ones put on the new breads, av zeha yitamin, that's also considered constant. It's a fulfillment of tamin. And therefore, how is that a fulfillment of tamin, of constant? It's not constant. There was an hour gap here on Shabbos when they took off the old ones and didn't put on the new ones. He holds that as long as a night did not go by, that the shulchan did not have bread, that's considered tamid. It doesn't mean every second, it means every day. However, according to the Rabbanan, if you would take off the lechem upon and leave it like that, and then organize the new breads, that would not be considered tamid. Rather, that would be considered a new beginning, a new placement. And that would be considered as if the shulchan was laying there without bread. And therefore, regarding the bris milah, when we pull back from doing the circumcision, and then we come back to do it, that is the opinion of the Rabban who argue in Rabbi Yisi, and they are the Tana of Abraisa that says it's a new act. It's a new thing. It's not a tumid anymore. It's a new action, as we find they say by the lechem upon them. Whereas Rabbi Yisi, that he says that, yeah, right, if he says if you stop and then you start again, that is tumid. So therefore, and that is one thing, yeah, he would agree that even if you pull back from doing the circumcision and you go back, you could go back for even the tzitzin that are not ma'akiv, because he considers it one long action, as we find that it's one long tamid, even though there's that gap, because it has that constancy and consistency. So here also, that although he pulled back for a moment, according to Rabbi Yosi, you would be able to go back for tzitzin she'en ma'akivin. The one of Abraisa who holds that you cannot go back for Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin, other Rabban that are going to be Yisi, and they say that Tumid means has to be constant, and if there's any gap, that would be a new beginning, and when it would be not a fulfillment of a Tumid, and therefore you would not be able to go back for Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin. Not like Mar brings Abraisa again, that deals with this topic of Tzitzin that are Ma'akiv, that the straps the little strands of flesh of the foreskin that are still there that weren't totally taken off. Torah Rabbah, we learned the Braisa. Mahalkitin Nesamila, we can go ahead and gather and continue and cut off all the different parts of the foreskin by the strands that are ma'akiv that are would invalidate the bris mila. Vimlo hilkit onish karas. And if you don't go back to take off all the different strands that would invalidate the bris mila, then you get a punishment of karas. So Gemara says, Mani, who is getting karas over here? What are we talking about? Amr b'kahana uman. It means the professional, the mail. He's going to get a punishment of karis if he doesn't go back to go take off these little strands that would invalidate that are ma'akiv the mitzvah mila. Because we're talking about it was on Shabbos. And he was mechal Shabbos. And the only way he was allowed to be mechal Shabbos is by being mechal the mitzvah mila. Yet he was not mechal the mitzvah mila. Because there are these tzitzin that are ma'akvin. That's why we say if he does not go back and do the tzitzin ha-ma'akvin, he's going to get karis because that retroactively reveals that he never did the mitzvah mila. And therefore he was mechal Shabbos. But Maskevler of Papa, Papa asks on this this idea. Uman, you tell me that he, the Moil, he gets karas? Lemalahu, let him tell everybody else, Ano avdi palgad mitzvah. I did half the mitzvah. Atu navdisa palgad mitzvah. You do the other half of the mitzvah. And that is what Rav Papa is saying is that since when he started the Moil, he did it with Rishus. He's going ahead and doing a mitzvah of Mila. And now he made a Chabura, but that was, again, permitted to do, even though it's a malacha. So why is he liable? Let him tell everybody else, you go ahead and finish off the mitzvah. I was involved in a mitzvah act. The fact that I didn't finish doesn't mean I was doing an act of chil Shabbos. I was doing part of the process of the milah. So why should he be chayiv karis if he doesn't finish it off? Doesn't mean he wasn't involved in a permitted act. So Elam Rav Papa says, right, it's not talking about this case that we just described on Shabbos of the moil when he doesn't complete it. Rather, it's talking about a gadol, it's talking about an adult. An adult that circumcised himself, that he was fulfilling the mitzvah, or he had a moil do it, even during the weekday, he will get karis. What we mean is because of the mitzvah of mila. Because if he doesn't allow the moil to finish it up and do these little strands that are ma'ak of the mila, he's still considered an oral. He's still considered someone that has the foreskin. And then you get karis if you're an adult and you don't do a bris mila. That's what we meant. This tomato gadol. But on that, the Gemara is maskular avashi. Gadol behedik sivbe. Gadol has a pasuk that says v'oral zachar asher lo yimol, that an adult male that has the foreskin that will not circumcise it. The pasuk in Bereishis Yudzayin says v'nichrasa hanefesh ahim amel, such a soul will be cut off from its nation as b'risi hefer. He has annulled. He has abolished my covenant. We have a pasuk that says, yeah, we know that you're not mekayim the mitzvah because it sits in hamakven. So what is the chiddush in saying that he gets karas? We have a pasuk that tells us that. So therefore, Elam Ravashi, Ravashi says, no, it's like we said before. Lo ilam umen is tomat the moil. So how is it talking about? Isn't it talking about that he's involved in the act of mitzvah, even if he doesn't finish it? Ukagoyin to asr ben ashmash the Shabbos. Tomat that he's coming by twilight time to go ahead and do the bris mila. He's running late, he's coming. It's almost Shabbos. Now, the whole entire day is kosher to do the bris mila. However, Amrulay, they tell him, loy mesaptik, you don't have enough time. You're not going to be able to finish it on the day when in the halacha, and therefore what's going to come out now, it's still Shabbos where you could do the bris mila, but you're going to be doing a chabur on Shabbos without doing the mitzvah. Again, it's Shabbos and you can do a Shabbos mila. But the mila, the moil is running late, there's a snowstorm, he comes and he's looking at his watch, he can't come back tomorrow, Sunday he has a different bris mila. Now it's almost shkia. It's bein hashmashas time. And he wants to get the mila in. So the problem is they're telling him, look, you're not going to be able to finish it. You're not going to be able to finish it, and therefore you're going to be doing a chabur, you're going to be doing a malacha without fulfilling the mitzvah. He says, don't worry, I have enough time, I've done this before. And he did it, and he didn't have enough time. He wasn't able to finish it before it was nighttime, and you can't do the mila at nighttime. So it comes out in that case where he made a wound in the child, and he gets a einish of karis because he did not fulfill the mitzvah. Again, he gets karis, but he doesn't get misa because they didn't warn him for misa and he wasn't makabel hasra on himself. However, there's karis because when he started this time, he did not start with rishos, with permission. And therefore, Shabbos was not given to be doicha for this person at this time. And that is the case that we're talking about, that if you don't go back for the tzitzin ha-ma'akfin on Shabbos, in other words, if you didn't finish it in time, then you get karis. That is because such a person did not have permission to do it because he didn't really have enough time. And therefore, it wasn't considered that he was doing a mitzvah act. And that is why we're talking about that the moil will get karas. Our Mishnah told us that meitzitzin v'chulu, that we're also allowed to draw the blood from the makam ha-mila on Shabbos. And that's considered one of the integral parts of the mitzvah of mila. So Amar Papa, hi umna, this moil, this one that does the circumcision. The loy mayitz, that it does not draw the blood from the makam hamila, sakanahu, it's a danger to the child. Vavrin lehem, we get rid of such a mayil. He has to do mitzitza. So Gemara's pshita, what I mean, it's obvious. Midikom mechali leshabata. We said in our Mishnah, one of the items that you can mechal Shabbos on it. So obviously sakanahu. Obviously it's because of the danger to life. Because if it wouldn't be a danger to life, why are we allowed to draw the blood? It's not integral for the mitzvah of mila per se. And that is to the effect that you have to go ahead and cut off the foreskin. You have to uncover the corona, but drawing out the blood, what does that have to do with the mitzvah of Mila? Obviously, it's because of sakana to the child. So, of course, we say it in that Mishnah, why do you have to tell us that we'll get rid of such a mile? He's endangering the lives of the children by not doing the mitzitza. And that thing where it says, Madatim, I would have thought that our Mishnah is not telling us that you can mechal Shabbos to do the mitzitza. Rather, haidam mifkad pakin. It's just that the blood that's there in the makam amila of the child is just deposited over there. It's like put into a vessel. And when you're doing the mitzitza, when you're drawing out the blood, you're not creating a wound. You're not taking blood that's in the flesh and going ahead and drawing it out. There's no issa of taira. And that's why it's permitted, not because it's sakana, because again, you're not being mechal Shabbos when you're drawing out the blood. By a wound, when it's inside and you pull it out, that's a problem of a melacha d'oraisa. But when it's just like encapsulated and it just comes out, it's not drawing out from within the flesh, it's just there, it's in between the different compartments that are there by the aver, and when you pull it away, it's just in, you're pulling it out, then I would say that it's not a chil Shabbos, it's not a chabura, it's just deposited there, and since it's not a sakana, so therefore a mayel that does not do mitzitza, does not draw the blood during the weekday, it's not dangerous to the child, and that we would not get rid of him, again, because the reason why we're doing it on Shabbos is not because it's sakana for the child, it's just because you're not doing any melacha d'oraisa, it's just deposited there, and you're just taking it out, not drawing it from within the flesh, which would be a melacha d'oraisa. Of chabura, and that is why we need the halacha of rapapa kamash melon chibur mechaber. That's what he's teaching you, that it is making chabura when you go ahead and draw out the blood through the mitzitza. And even so, it's going to be mutter on Shabbos because of a sakana. And that is why we needed rapapa to tell us that if somebody does not do mitzitza, we get rid of him. And to tell us that the pshat in the Mishnah is not because it's not a chil of Shabbos because it's just deposited, that rather it's not deposited, it's actually it's inside the flesh, and therefore when you go ahead and pull it out, you're doing a melacha d'oraisa. However, still, in spite of the fact that it's a melacha d'oraisa, it's mutter because of a sakana to the child. And again, that's why if somebody, a male, during the weekday doesn't do mitzitza, we get rid of him because he's endangering the child. As the Gemara says, and that it's similar to the case in our Mishnah of that doing a bandage and putting kuman on Shabbos, because since it says it near those two cases together, and it teaches us the following lesson, that ma'is balon is v'kamen, just like putting on a bandage and kuman, that kilo yavet sakano, if you don't put on these ointments, that it's going to be endangered to the child's life. Afachinami here also regarding the mitzitza, the drawing out the blood, kilo yavet sakano, if you don't do the mitzitza, it's endangered to the child's life. And again, that's why you can do it on Shabbos, and that's why if a male doesn't do it during the weekday, we get rid of him, he's endangering the child. Then the Mishnah said, that you could put on a bandage on the makam amila on Shabbos. My mother told me, ispalinis the kulan kivi, the bandage of all pains is the following ointment. Shev minoi tarba, seven types of fat, v'chod kiri, and one type of wax. That is the best type of bandage a person should put on when he has a pain. Rav Amma, he says a different one, kira wax, v'kalba rishona, and it's a type of a resin that comes out of a tree that you take it out not through the fire and it's white. You put those two ingredients together, that's the ultimate bandage to put on. So Gemara brings a story related to this, that Torsha Rava ben Mechuza, Rava went and in his public lecture in Mechuza, he went and said this refua, this type of bandage to put on. Karina b'nei Menyume Asiya l'manayu. So the sons of Menyume, the doctor, went and tore their clothing because they said, we have nothing now. We lost all our money because you went and told all the medical secrets that the best way of taking care of any pain is putting on this bandage and you're going to be healed. What are we going to do? How are we going to make money anymore? Our father, the doctor, lost his profession. So he said to them, don't worry. Shavki l'chukhada, I left you one that I did not reveal. Damar Shmuel said that this secret he didn't tell to the people of Mechuza, that Haimad Demashi Ape, somebody that washes his faith, V'loi Nogiv Tuva, and it doesn't dry it well, Nakdrulei, and we continue on to the top of Kof Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, Chaspinisa, he breaks out in Tupshad Mirashi, either that his face cracks up, or that he breaks out and boils, and that is, if you don't dry your face well enough, that's what happens. Maita Kanti, so what would be a way to heal that? That is what he didn't reveal to other people. No worry, you could still use this in your medical field. Is lemashi tuva b'mayda silka, is to be able to wash your face very well with the water of beets, and that is a beet soup. You take a beet soup and you wash your face with that. That will take care of the boils and the cracked face, the skin, and therefore you know you could work in dermatology. Don't worry, I'm not taking away your profession. There's still other secrets that you could still use.